starting with verse 16 of that chapter. It said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that ye may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you." Now verse 26 of that same chapter said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things." Now let's turn to the book of Acts. The first chapter. Starting with verse 4. "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized you with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Verse 7. "And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the time or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the othermost parts of the earth." Let us pray. Father, quicken your servant tonight. Open up our hearts and our ears to receive the word. And God, we're just believing you, Lord, that you're going to give us something, God, that might minister to us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated. I told my wife that I was preaching tonight on pneumatology. She said, "What?" The Holy Spirit. Somewhere or another, God just keeps bringing me back to the realm of the Holy Spirit. That I feel like, sometimes I feel the need that our church is losing that anointed out of our services. And we were talking just before the service started that we no longer will be a movement, but only a denomination, and that we no longer will enjoy the power of God. I know that so many of our churches today never ever have a move of God in their services, and I thank God that we still have the moving of God in our church here. I love the book of Acts. You know why? Because the church is still living in the book of Acts. We are in the book of Acts. That some people have studied the book of Acts, they said the Acts is the record of the apostles. No, the book of Acts is the record of the church. And because that we're still living in the book of Acts is because that God is still working with the church, and that we should still be enjoying the fellowship of the book of Acts and the anointing that they had on the day of Pentecost and in the early church. Let's look at the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, I know I'm preaching to the choir here tonight. I look out and I see that you folks are the faithful people. But let's just go over some of these things. The person of the Holy Spirit is that he is a person. He is the part of the Godhead Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And he is never an it. He's always he. When you study the book of Acts, study the Bible, you find out that over and over and over, it tells us that He is the one, and it's a personal pronoun that he in John 16 it said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." And then the 13th verse said, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." All these shows us that he is a part, and he should be called the Holy Spirit, or he. The church is always called she. Anytime you read the Bible about the church is always feminine gender. She. We're going to be the bride. But when you talk about the Holy Spirit, it's always he. And it gives he. Let's look at where before creation, the Holy Spirit was already there. The Bible said, God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the second verse said, and the earth was was void and without form. And the Spirit moved upon the face of the earth. The Holy Spirit was there at the very beginning of this. That he said, when the very beginning was, he said, and the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. So we see that the Holy Spirit was there at the very beginning. And then he tells us that he is everywhere. The Holy Spirit is everywhere we go. The Bible tells us, he said, if I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I ascend to hell, that there will be there also. And he said, if I ascend to the farthest corner of the earth, thou will be with me. So everywhere you are, wherever you are, the Holy Spirit is there with you. The Holy Spirit there to guide you. The Holy Spirit is there to minister to you. And he said that he is present everywhere. And then God will send his Comforter. Now, where do we get the Holy Spirit? The Bible said, I will pray the Father, and what? He will send him unto you. See, the Holy Spirit was given to us by the Heavenly Father himself. And so we have the Holy Spirit come, and he said, and I'll give you another Comforter. Now the word Comforter here is the word paraclete, which means someone of the same kind and one that will stand with and beside you. See, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about somebody that will come to help you for For 3.5 years, Jesus had been with the disciples. He had ministered to them. He had taught them. He had guided them. He had been at their very side. And when he went away, he said, I'm going to send you another Comforter, and he's going to be a paraclete. He's going to be standing beside you. He's going to be guiding you. He's going to be teaching you. He's going to be ministering with you. And that he's going to be doing primarily the very same thing that I did when I was with you. When Jesus told his disciples that he was going away, in the 14th chapter of John, when he told his disciples, he said, I'm going away. The disciples were very, very brokenhearted because that Jesus was going away. He said, I'm going to go to my Father. And disciples was very disheartened. But Jesus tells his disciples, he said, I'm going to give you someone that's going to be just like me. I'm going to give you someone that'll stick with you. Someone, give you somebody that'll help you and will minister with you. And the Bible tells us in the Acts 1, verse 4 said, let's just turn and read it. Acts 1, verse 4. It said, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Don't you know, folks, he commanded his, he said, I'm going away, but you need to stay in Jerusalem. Don't leave Jerusalem, but stay in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from upon high. For he shall give you the very same anointing and the very same help that I gave to you when I was with you. And you know, folks, that it's sad to think that we have people going to seminaries today that are relying upon their own ability to minister God's word. I don't care how good a speaker you are. I don't care how talented you are. I don't care how much ability that you might have as a speaker. I want you to know, folks, that unless the Holy Spirit is anointing you, if the Holy Spirit's not with you, brother, you're no preacher at all. I tell people, I didn't go 4 years to Southwestern to become for them to teach me how to minister. I went 4 years to Southwestern to learn the word, and the Holy Ghost is the preacher. When the Holy Spirit came, the disciples that had been floundering became mighty leaders for God. The Bible tells us in one place today, and they turned the world upside down. I want you to know they made a great difference in the church when the Holy Spirit came. And the Bible said that the Holy that he will fill you, he said, and he will fill you with power. Now the word here the seventh verse says here that it's in the Father's own power. Now that's exousia. That means his own authority. But then the next verse says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you. Now this is the word dunamis, which means dynamite. We get the word dynamite, power. And so we need that Holy Spirit anointing when we're filled with the Holy Ghost. We need that anointing in our lives and in our heart. People tell me, well, you know, Brother Ray, I got the Holy Ghost when I was born again. No. You know, it saddens me to think that we have people get saved. Now, some of you old-timers will understand what I'm saying, if you'd like to admit that you're old-timer. When I got saved, you couldn't get up from the altar until you sought the Holy Ghost. You remember those days? I don't know. When the Lord came into my heart and truly saved me, I don't know when salvation ended and the Holy Ghost took hold. For when I got up from the altar, I was saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And you know, I believe God was good to me because he knew that I was fixing to go out back in the oil patch the next morning to work. And I was very, very shy, introvert. Then, you won't believe it now, but I was.
And when I got in that car that morning, after I was filled with the Holy Ghost, and I got in that car that morning, I wanted to make a statement that something had happened to me. I wanted to make a statement to those guys before I got out to that old drilling rig out there on the other side of Ardmore, Oklahoma, out in the area there, the deep hole area there. I wanted to make a statement that God had transformed my life, that God had changed me. And when I got in the car, I don't know how I did it. It just had to be God. I said, fellas, guess what happened to me last night? I got saved and filled the Holy Ghost. Got it over with. Oh, I wasn't bad. I hear about some people that have done this and done that and everything. We went down to the Women's Center in Houston, and the young fellow that I went with, or the man that I went with, went to my church, and he was telling them, he said, man, I have done everything. He said, I drank, and when I didn't have anything to drink one time, I said, I drank cologne. When I got saved and God called me into ministry, I thought I couldn't preach because I'd never been in jail. That I'd never done drugs. That I'd never been arrested. That was a time when everybody got up and had a testimony of how bad they'd been. Well, Larry, I'm glad that the Lord kept me from those. And I got up that morning when I was talking to the women there in that women's center, and I said, I want you to know, Brother Leon did all of these things and God saved him, but I want you to know, I didn't do any of them and God saved me too. You know, I believe it's a great testimony if you never got into all those deep things of the world and God still saved you. See, you still need to be saved. I don't care who you are, brother, whether you've been the meanest person in the world or you've been the best person in the world, you still need to give your heart to God. And I knew that God needed to come into my life. And I knew that I needed to turn my life over to God. And God knew what God was going to allow me to go through before I quit my job there and went to college. And God just said, I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost. See, years ago, the Assemblies of God used to preach it, unless you had the Holy Ghost, you wouldn't be taken up in the rapture. You know, we made a lot of errors. I look back over some of the things, and I think how that God has changed some of our preaching to where it's more biblical than it used to be. Let me tell you something. You'll make heaven if you don't have the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Spirit is not to make you ready for heaven. The Holy Ghost is to make you ready to live in this old world and be ready when Jesus comes. I don't believe I'd ever live for God if God hadn't filled me with the Holy Ghost. I don't believe I'd ever stood up. Brother, I always call where that old drilling rig was the devil's half an acre. But I know that God can keep you. I don't care what situation you're in, God can keep you. I don't care where you go, God can keep you. See, when you get saved, let me get back to my baptism. When you get saved, the Holy Ghost does not fill you with the Holy Ghost. The Lord doesn't fill you with the Holy Ghost. What does He do? the Holy Spirit assists you in becoming a child of God. For he shall be with you and shall be what? In you. I believe that when Jesus took his disciples and breathed upon them and said, receive the Holy Ghost, I believe what he was doing was this, that up to the time that Jesus died upon Calvary, it was impossible that the disciples could have been truly born again according to the New Testament area. How are we born again? What did the Old Testament do? The Old Testament just looked forward to Calvary. What does the New Testament do? It looks back at Calvary. Everything that we do, brother, is important because God sent his Son that he might die for us and shed his life's blood. And when Jesus breathed upon his disciples and said, receive the Holy Ghost, I believe he gave them a New Testament experience in God, and they were truly born again. I know that might be a little different from what some of you folks have understood it, but hey, they didn't receive the Holy Ghost. If they had received the Holy Ghost then they would not have had to tarry on the day of Pentecost. And without the Holy Spirit, let me tell you, and without the Holy Spirit, you cannot be saved. For it, that's why when we use the baptistry, what do we say? I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Why? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You'd never reach salvation if it wasn't for God's gift of Jesus Christ to you. Jesus came and he died upon Calvary and he shed his life's blood that you and I might, that he became a propitiation for our sins and that we can truly be born again. So it took Jesus, it took God and it took Jesus. And then the Bible said, we baptize you in the name of the Holy Spirit because, see, you would never be able to come to God unless the Spirit of God draw you. So when you get saved, it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, each one of them has an equal part in your part of salvation that comes to you in your heart and in your life. The Bible said that Philip the deacon went down to Samaria and he preached God's word. And while he was at Samaria, the Bible tells us that God gave a great revival. And the Bible said, and there was great miracles and signs and wonders and everything done. And they had a great revival. But don't you know that the Bible said, and there was great joy in the city. But what happened? The Bible said, and they sent down Peter and John to the church there in Samaria. And they laid their hands upon them and they received the Holy Ghost. They were saved and full of joy and having great works, but they were not filled with the Holy Ghost until Peter and John came and prayed for them. Peter was up on the housetop. He was at the house of Simon the tanner. And God had to work. See, up to this time, Peter had only worked with Jews. He had never worked with Gentiles at all. In fact, I think that most of those disciples were a little biased about anybody that wasn't a Jew. And he let down a tablecloth with all kinds of animals. And he said, here, Peter, take and kill and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything uncommon and unclean. And the Lord said, don't call what I have created common and unclean. What was he doing? He was getting him ready to go and to minister to Cornelius' household, an Italian Gentile. And the Holy Spirit had already come to Cornelius' household, and he said, go and call Peter. He's at Joppa in Simon the Tanner's house. Said, I want you to come and I want you to get him and bring him back. And he and things hadn't hardly got settled down until Peter heard a knock on the door, and these men that Cornelius had sent had came, and the Bible said, and he went back with them. And then in the 10th chapter, about 44th verse, and it said, and when Peter began to preach to them, they were already, see, listen, they were already serving God. And beside that, they were paying tithes. And working for God. But when Peter began to preach to them, the Bible said, all of a sudden, the power of God came down from heaven and filled the whole place with the power of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said, and they spoke in tongues and began to magnify God, and they worshiped God. And a few days later, Peter went up to the council, the General Council of the Assemblies of God in Jerusalem. And when he got there, he said, I want you to know, I want to tell you, the Lord has sent the power of God into to the Gentiles. I want you to tell you what I did. Brother, that while I was preaching, the power of God fell upon Cornelius' household, and they received the Holy Ghost and spake in tongues as we did on the day of Pentecost. When Philip was in Samaria, Simon the sorcerer was there. And the Bible said he had even come and got baptized in the church. And when he saw what God had done through Peter and John and how the Holy Ghost had fallen upon them, he said, he said to Peter, he said, give me that tongue that I can have it with you. That's not what he said, was it? He said, give me that power. Dunamis. I want that power that fell upon these Christians here in Samaria. And give me that power. He wasn't interested in the tongue. He was interested in the power of the Holy Ghost that would give him power. What is the Holy Ghost? Let me tell you something. I'm old-fashioned. The Holy Spirit just didn't come down and fill you with the Holy Spirit just to say, I've spoken in tongues and you haven't. The Holy Spirit came to endue the church for the work that God had planned for them. with the power to do it with. I'm a little stressed today. I think I've already said this, but that we let people come and get saved and never tell them about the baptism of the Holy Spirit that they need. You know when the best time to get the Holy Ghost is? When you get saved. You're good and clean. Brother, years ago, brother, they grab a hold of you. Let me see what time it is. Oh, I got about 5 more minutes. When I got saved, they grabbed you at the altar, and I want you to know some of those brothers and sisters would not let you up. And they'd say, hang on, turn loose. And people got the Holy Ghost. Do you know that the Assemblies of God today, I read somewhere a while back, the Assemblies of God, only 26% of the people that attend our churches are Spirit-filled today. That's sad, isn't it? That's sad. That breaks my heart to think that, brother, that we are no longer a Pentecostal movement like we were when I first came into the Assemblies of God 50 years ago, 60 years ago almost. The Assemblies of God met in Arkansas. No man formed the Assemblies of God. You can't say, Brother so-and-so formed the Assemblies of God, or Brother so-and-so formed the Assemblies of God. Who formed the Assemblies of God? People that were Spirit-filled, that wanted a Spirit-filled church, started the Assemblies of God. I've always been the man that spoke at that first general council there in Arkansas. His name was M.M. Pinson. I've got a book that's got his picture in it, and I don't know whether I'm any kin to him or not. There was another Pinson in the Assemblies of God I called, and he didn't seem to know anything about it either. But I want you to know, that guy was so ugly, he's bound to be kin folks. But he was a preaching machine. And the reason that the Assemblies of God was formed is because they wanted a Spirit-filled fellowship. I'm going to ask you 2 questions, closing. First, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Have you ever been filled with the Holy Ghost? With evidence of speaking in other tongues and received the power of God that will help you to be an overcomer. Let me tell you something, folks. What we see happening in our society today, what we see happening all around us, what we see happening in our government today is just the beginning of the last days. And I've got other news for you. It's not going to get any better. We're going to have things crammed down our throats that we don't believe. We're going to have abortion, and it's going to be crammed down your throat whether you want it and believe it or not. We're going to have homosexuality. Well, you want to or not? I've said this a long time ago. If the churches would stand together, I'm talking about the Assemblies of God, the Methodists, the Baptists, the Presbyterian, and all. If we could stand together, we got all these things that are coming in our community today. It looks like we're going to have a homosexual mayor if God doesn't change. and we have got to a place where no longer does it disturb us like it used to. No longer are we concerned that people are doing these evil things and they're being put into government places. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Powers and principalities and rulers of darkness. And I want you to know, folks, we're up against that tonight. And it's getting worse every day. I don't know how many of you have read the book, The Hiding Place, Corrie Ten Boom. When I was over in Holland, I wanted to go. There's two places that I knew of, and one of them was the hiding, was the place where Corrie Ten Boom and them lived, and the diary of Anne Frank's, and how that they lived under they were Jews living under the oppression. Anne Frank's were living under the oppression of a German empire that had come in and taken over Holland. Well, let me tell you something, folks. We're slipping every day. We're slipping further and further down. And I want you to know, that we're living in terrible times. A number of years ago, I went to hear a man that had that he had written a part in the and had testified in the House Un-American Activities Committee in California. What did he go to jail for? 14 years he went to jail. What did he go to jail for? Serving God. Let me ask you something. Do you think that when the enemy comes in, that you're going to be spared? Huh? You hearing me? Do you think that when the enemy comes in and all of this power of darkness that's coming over America today, you think that God's that you're going to be spared just because that you're a child of God? Now, I know that the Bible tells us that God has not called us to wrath. I had somebody a number of years ago said, Ray, I believe that we're going to have to go through the tribulation period. I said, well, I hate to disagree with you, but I don't. But if you want to go through tribulation, you can go ahead and go through it. But if it's all right with you, I think I'll skip it. What I'm trying to paint you a picture, folks, that it's going to become more and more and more and more important that you be filled with the Holy Ghost every day. The longer you live. And the last question. God filled you with the Holy Ghost 5, 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. How much that dominates your life every day? Huh? It's not enough just to get the Holy Ghost once. The Lord said, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, the word feel is a verb that is active. It means be filled and be filled and be filled and be filled continuing. A number of years had a commercial on Wolf Brand Chili. And the commercial went like this. How long has it been since you had a big old bowl of Wolf Brand Chili? How many knows what the answer is? Well, that's too long. Well, let me ask you this. How long has it been since the Holy Spirit got a hold of you at the altar or somewhere in your private life, has got a hold of you, and the Holy Spirit just moved upon your heart so that you that you wept before God and prayed and sought God, and the Holy Spirit just sent bellows of the blessings of God upon your life? How long has that been? I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. When? We need a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit all the time in our lives. Folks, you can't just speak in tongues and receive the Holy Ghost once and say, well, bless God, I've got it now. That's not enough. The Holy Spirit in our churches can do something. I want you to know, I was preaching a revival at San Benito in the valley. And our services was going about midnight every night. And I wasn't preaching 3 hours, Brother Greg. And the Holy Spirit would just come like waves and that week we had over 35 people, well, 2 weeks, we had about 35 people saved and about 40 people filled with the Holy Ghost. And it was heaven on earth. You ever heard that old song, "And this is like heaven to me? I passed over Jordan to Canaan's fair land, and this is like heaven to me." I want you to know, folks, we had a little bit of heaven on earth. One night it rained, and when church time came, water was flowing up to the edge of the curb, and the church was full. I preached till I lost my voice. Prayed with people. Ran the altar to receive the Holy Ghost. Just long, 2, 3, 4 hours of altar services. And I went to church that night, and I could hardly talk above a whisper. And I thought, oh God, what am I going to do? I have no voice to preach tonight. The services got started. And when the services got started, the power of God began to fall, and they had a little Sunday school superintendent. He was about my age, but weighed about 200 pounds or more. And the power of God came upon him, and when the power of God came upon him, brother, he run up and down the aisle, and he was preaching in the Holy Ghost. I don't know what he was saying. He didn't know what he was saying. But somewhere or another, God hooked it up. And there was an old boy there that this girl played a piano. And his mom and dad was old-fashioned, said, "Son, if you won't go with my daughter, you've got to come to church." So here he came to church to see that little old beautiful girl playing the piano. I preached every kind of message, I guess, that you could think of in those. And gave his heart to God. What am I saying? I'm saying this, folks. Preaching will never get the work done. Brother Durham, good a preacher as he is, will never get the work done without the power of the Holy Spirit. Evangelists, I don't care how good they are, we've had some good ones lately, and I don't care how good the evangelists are, they can't get the work done. But I want you to know, brother, if you get the Holy Ghost and
working in our services and the power of God moving in our churches. I want you to know, folks, people begin to feel conviction, and people begin to feel like they need to move God to God, and people begin to search their hearts and say, God, why do I need God?
When we was at Northside, God gave us a great revival. And there would be times that we'd go 2 or 3 services without me even preaching. The Holy Ghost would just come down and just saturate the place. And people would come to the altar and get saved and get delivered and get filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, I love to preach. But let me tell you something. I don't want the services to be all the moving of the Holy Ghost without teaching. You need teaching along with the moving of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? But at the same time, when we go along in our searches and we go several searches and not have a move of God, it bothered me, because I want you to know, folks, I know that young man that gave his heart to God in that revival, the Holy Spirit did something that I couldn't do. I preached to him and it hadn't moved him, but the Holy Spirit moved him off that altar down to the off his seat down to the altar. Stand with me. When God was moving in our church, brother, I talked to Howard Burris, which was in college with me, and brother Howard Burris and I was visiting, and he said, Brother Ray, what are you doing there? I said, I'm just letting the Holy Ghost move. I'm just letting the Holy Spirit move. Let me tell you something, folks. I know we need revival. I'm not talking about one of these little flash fire revivals. I'm talking about one of these that will last. Get people filling this church on Wednesday night, filling the church on Sunday morning, filling the church on Sunday night. Preaching won't get it done, folks. Preaching will not get it done completely. We need preaching. We need teaching. But the thing that's going to get it done is when the Holy Spirit comes in and begins to make people's heart warm by the moving of the Holy Ghost. That's when we're going to begin to see revival really take part and really take over in our church. I want you to pray with me, folks, that God will send revival to Glad Tidings. Back in the time when the temple was so blessed under Solomon. And the Bible tells us that in 2 Chronicles how that the Holy Spirit came and the cloud filled the whole place where they could not even minister. And Israel fell into sin, and they lost out, and their tabernacle was temple was destroyed. And years later, under Habakkuk and Zerubbabel, Nehemiah, they came back to Jerusalem and they rebuilt the house of God. And the Bible said the young people were praising God, but the old folks was weeping because they remembered how it used to be. I tell you, folks, my heart gets heavy. My heart gets heavy. For it's not that I'm not enjoying what God's doing today. It's that I remember how that we had it better in years past.
Now, it's not Brother Durham's fault. It's our fault
that we let our church gradually slipping away from our hands. Church services, churches are being closed. Our Pentecostal churches are being closed on Sunday night. We used to pass by a Methodist church there on Fulton Street, and when we had passed by there on our way to our Wednesday night service, and we'd see those young people up there dancing. And my wife and I used to make comments about the young people. On Sunday night, the church was closed, but the young people was dancing upstairs in their fellowship place. And now I look about and see that's where we are. That's where we're coming to. I'm not a pessimist. I just know that if God doesn't do something for us soon, we need it now, folks. We need it now. We don't need it 10 years from now. We need that Holy Ghost move now. Would you help me pray? Let's just ask God to give us a revival, would you? Father, right now, God, give us revival. Give us a Holy Ghost move. God, these people that are filled with the Holy Ghost, that's not letting the Spirit of God move in their hearts and not exercising the power of God in their lives. Father, I pray that every spirit-filled Christian that goes to our church here, God would be stirred in their hearts to do something for God. Oh, God, set us afire. Set us afire. God, don't let us get us to a place, Lord, where God, all we want to do is to seek God, that God would move and give our pastor more freedom and more power, and the church more freedom and more power. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we're a needy people tonight. We're a needy people tonight. Do something for us, God, we pray. Do something for us, Lord, we pray. Do something for us now, Lord, we pray. Oh, Lamb of God. Lamb of God, 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 Lamb of God. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Oh, Rianda Bakushana Bahara Boshikaya. God, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. One more time, God, one more time. God, get us ready for the days that's still ahead of us. That, God, you said in the last days there'll be perilous times. God, in Jesus' name, help us, Lord, we pray. Help us, Lord, we pray tonight. Help us, Lord, we pray tonight. God, in Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. 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 Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Praise the 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 Lord. I look over our church tonight and I see that you're the faithful people. If I ruffled your feathers anyway, I'm sorry. But if I told you the truth, I don't apologize for that. I just know, folks, I just know, and I see everything coming about. These days are, everything is coming so fast upon us. The things that are happening so fast here in America. We're becoming a socialist nation. The only hope, the only hope is we Christians will draw a line and stand up against the power of the enemy. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.